Well, good morning again, Crossroads Church. It's a joy to be here with you this morning. I've been eagerly awaiting the opportunity to join you in Dera after all the years that you spent in Jebel Ali. It's just a privilege to worship with you. It's just a joy that you've been granted permission to meet here at Al Guerrer. This is my old stomping ground. I used to live right behind this building for a number of years. And it would have been really tempting if I would still be living there, whether I should join Crossroads Church as a member. It would have been a very nice walk on Sunday mornings to join you for worship. Being back here geographically is great, but more so, seeing so many of you, our dear family in Christ, is wonderful. It feels like we're back home because of you, because of this church, because of our many friendships here, because of the relationships that go years, and just really thankful. I love this church. I love Pastor Alvin and Diane. Brother, thank you for the privilege of preaching here from the pulpit of Crossroads Church. I don't take that privilege lightly. Crossroads, you're led well. You are loved by your senior pastor. He cares for you, loves you, shepherds you, prays for you, feels deep affection for you. You're led well by him, the other elders of the church, many of which I've already seen this morning. You have a great leadership team here, and it's been thrilling to see over these years. We might have thought that being kind of pushed out in Jebel Ali for many years, that number one, that this day may never come, and number two, what will God do with the church? And he has obviously grown the church spiritually, most of all, also numerically. We're thrilled that you're now meeting in the center of Dera for a number of reasons. One, it's great, but it's the place that for many years Pastor Alvin and I prayed for, that a gospel-centered witness, that a corporate display of his glory to Dubai would be here in Dera. There were several places that Pastor Alvin had picked out, one that was even all lined up, ready to go, maybe even just even a week off or within the month, ready to meet in Dera when we were told that that wasn't going to be possible. So this is an answer to years of prayer, even before Crossroads started, that Pastor Alvin and I were praying for. So you're an answer to many prayers. Well, the Redeemer Church elders send you their greetings. We think of you. We pray for you often. We're doing well as a church. I gave a little bit of an update, but we're enjoying just a nice season of peace and spiritual growth. We've been meeting on Sheikh Zayed Road now for some time. You know, we've kind of sojourned, I think, at least in 10 or 11 different meeting places in the life of our church. But we're right there on Sheikh Zayed Road now. And so if you go into Google and you type in world's most beautiful building, try it sometime. Maybe you know already what's going to pop up when you type that in. You get the Museum of the Future, right? The beautiful building there in Sheikh Zayed Road with the Emirates Towers behind it. Well, we don't meet there, but across the street, actually directly across the street, we meet in a much older hotel building, now named the Millennium Plaza Hotel. But we're thankful for a central meeting spot there on the metro line where people can come and hear the gospel. And one of my favorite parts about the Millennium Plaza Hotel and where we meet now is that everyone staying in the hotel has to take the elevators down to kind of a small central lobby. Now, here's the thing. Here's the most fantastic thing is everyone has to take those elevators, and you can go to the right or you go to the left. And when you come down, the breakfast buffet is to the right, but you can't see it. It's around the corner. But if you look to the left, you see our church doors open, and you see a crowd of people who've gathered, and you see coffee and croissants, and you see some pastries. And so every single week, when those open doors, it pretty much means that people staying in the hotel come and have breakfast with us. And often before they know it, we have great ushers, they've been ushered into an unexpected worship service. Originally, not our evangelistic strategy, but it's become a good one at the Millennium Plaza Hotel. Well, friends, pray for our church. Pray for more men, women, and children to hear the gospel, to come to know Jesus Christ. And even for visitors in the hotel, I've met many of them, even myself, who say, I didn't know there was a church meeting here, or they were just coming to investigate Christianity. Maybe they stay for a while. Maybe they stay to the end. But we're able to have these gospel conversations on Sheikh Zayed Road. Pray that more visitors would just look us up online and come. As you take part in your evangelism equipping class this summer, pray for us. Pray that we would be bold and courageous. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, this is one of my favorite passages in Romans. There are many favorite passages, but I thought I would take us to verses 10 through 15, which Sarah read for us, and we responded in reading in Tagalog as well. I have one main overarching point today, so quite simple. I'll mention it now, and then I'll share it throughout the sermon. One main point: we all have a role to play in God's plan of salvation. Play your part. We all, every single one of us as Christians, if you're here and you are a follower of Christ, every single one of us has a role to play in God's grand and magnificent plan of salvation. Play your part. As we look at our verses, we first observe that salvation is offered by faith to all people. So as we think about our mission, our commission here that I've mentioned in the main point, first, we have to notice in the beginning of our passage that salvation is offered by faith to all people, verses 10 and 11. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now, to be saved, you must have faith in your heart. The word for, the beginning there, it introduces a reason and an explanation for what Paul has just said. We look back and in verse 9, Paul, the apostle and the author of this letter, says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The reason is that one believes and is saved with the heart, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. But we need to note something important here. We need to make mention of something important here, that it's the possession of faith, not the profession of faith, that saves. Okay, this is really, really, really important for us to know. It's the possession of faith, not the profession of faith, that saves us. Walking an aisle, raising a hand, signing a card, getting baptized, joining a church, praying a certain prayer a certain way, does not and will not save you on its own. This is why Paul doesn't just say that we'll be saved if we confess with our mouth. He doesn't stop there. He adds a condition. You must believe with your heart. This literary device is called parallelism. It's often used in Hebrew. What Paul is not saying here is that there are two different ways to be saved. Let's be clear on that as well. It's not two separate things to be saved. One, confess verbally Jesus is Lord, and second, believe internally that Jesus is raised. No, these are simply two sides of the same coin. We believe in our hearts. That leads us to confess with our mouths. Well, what do we believe? Verse 9 says Jesus is Lord. We must believe that Jesus is Lord. We must believe the gospel. As Pastor Alvin says, we're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the gospel that saves. It has the power for salvation. We have to acknowledge just what we read in the catechism this morning, that we're dead apart from Christ, that we have sinned, that we have sinned against the holy God of the universe, our maker, our creator. We have no way to save ourselves, and that death and judgment is the just payment for our sins. It's what we deserve for rebelling against God. You have to raise your hands and say, my Christian mother or father can't save me. My good works can't save me. My passport can't save me. My church membership can't save me. My baptism can't save me. My career can't save me. My ministry can't save me. The only thing that can save me, the only thing that can save us, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and placing our faith in Him. It's Jesus who saves. The point here is that with the mouth we confess what the heart believes, and the heart believes that Jesus has been raised from the dead after dying on the cross in our place. Well, friends, have you believed in Jesus to save you? Maybe you're visiting this morning. Maybe you stumbled in here and saw the crowd of people and joined in, and you're staying here at the hotel. Maybe you've been coming to Crossroads gatherings ever since they started here in Deer, or maybe even back in Jebel Alley. Maybe you've been around for years, but have you personally, I'm not talking about church attendance, I'm not talking about ministry service, I'm not talking about anything else, I'm talking about whether you personally have turned to Jesus for saving faith. Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus to save you? Because if you believe in Jesus for salvation, you will never ever be put to shame. You will be given everlasting life. You'll be in Christ. Well, how can we be saved? Why? I've mentioned this already, through faith in Christ. To summarize that first section, well, who can do this? Who can do this? Who can become a believer? Look at verses 12 and 13. Are there any restricted from believing? Paul writes, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone, not a few people, not some people, not most people, not these people, not that people, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, the word for, it carries the argument forward logically. Paul has already said, if you come to Christ based on faith, that's it. You're saved, nothing else. So logically, it's an easy answer to the following question. Who can be saved? Well, anyone can be saved. Everyone can be saved. No one is left out. There's no distinction. Jew and Gentile are saved the same way. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no favoritism in Christ's kingdom. The world may discriminate, but God doesn't. You don't search your backpack for earthly documentation when you reach heaven's gates. Instead, you point to Jesus. If you're asked why should God let you in to heaven's gates for all eternity, you point to Jesus. Entrance into heaven isn't based on anything you've done or what a piece of paper says about you. The gates of heaven and salvation are open to everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. Jesus died and Jesus rose. Jesus died and he rose from the dead, offering life to everyone, old and young, men and women, no matter your financial status, your family background, or your past sins. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There may be divisions on earth, but not in God's church. We had a church potluck one night at our first Murdiff house. We called this place the Redeemer Villa, and it was a place where we worked out of. We had men's and women's Bible studies. Our youth group met there. We had music rehearsals on Wednesday nights. I love how you sung He Lives, written by Glenn and Donnie Jones. And so Glenn Jones, one of our founding pastors, would lead music rehearsal on Wednesday nights. And I loved being in my office preparing the sermon and hearing them rehearse. It's just a joyful time. Well, what we would do in the very early days of the church in that villa is we would hold monthly potlucks. And so people would come over and we would eat together as a church. So I remember around 14 years ago, we had one of our monthly potlucks, nothing so special to us. But the next day, our neighbor told Gloria that she had a confession to make. She said that the night before, she had been looking into our courtyard and she was shocked at what she saw. Now, at this point, Gloria is thinking, what happened at our church potluck? Like, what was our church doing that was so shocking? Well, her friend went on and said, I saw Indians and Africans and Asians and Westerners all bringing food to your house and eating together. Why would you all do that? Now, my wife, Gloria, loves evangelism. Seeing a wide open door to the gospel, Gloria said, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. He breaks down every dividing wall. He tears down all barriers. Because of Jesus, we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus has torn down that wall. We come together because Jesus loves us and because we love Jesus. Well, this was stunning news to our neighbor. But it's true. Crossroads Church, it's true. Jesus has torn down the dividing wall. So the sin of your past, your skin color, your former religion are irrelevant for salvation. Well, how do we know this? Well, Christian friend, because he saved you. Because he saved me. You and I are all the proof that we need. None of us have a boring, born-again birth story. All Christians have a triumphant story of faith, a triumphant testimony of faith, where God took a dead person, where God took the dead and brought them to life. Friend, Christian, that's what you were. That's who you were. You were dead until God in his providential choice chose you and gave you new life. You were born again. Well, friend, the gospel is available to all. The gospel is available to all, but someone has to make the call. Well, again, that brings us to our main point today. We see that in our last verses. We all have a role to play in God's plan of salvation. Play your part. We all have a role to play. We must be faithful to this role and to this call. Look at verses 14 in the beginning of 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Well, the logic here goes something like this. How can they confess Jesus as Lord if they haven't first believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard about Jesus? How can they hear about Jesus if someone doesn't tell them about Jesus? How can someone tell them about Jesus if no one is sent out for the task of talking about Jesus? Now, in these verses, the mention of preaching shouldn't confuse us into thinking that all Paul has in mind here is the Sunday morning sermon. Certainly that's included. But the verb denotes the action of a herald. A herald is someone who's been given a message and is entrusted with going out and sharing that same message. It's someone who tells a message to another party. It's the job of every Christian to do this with the gospel. Crossroads Church of Dubai, men, women, and children will not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't tell them. We have so many of the world's nationalities walking the streets of our city. We have visitors from all the ends of the earth. We're a 7-hour plane flight to 2/3 the world's population. And we have ambitious rulers who have many ambitious projects, including building the world's largest airport. Dubai is the gateway to Africa, Asia, Europe. We're in the middle of millions of people who don't know Jesus. Just think about some of the surrounding countries. Yemen, 34 million souls. Saudi Arabia, 37 million. Afghanistan, 43 million. Iraq, 45. Kenya, 56. Turkey, 86. Iran, 90 million people. Egypt, 114 million people. The Philippines, around 119 million people. Thousands of which who live right here down Riga Street or in Marakabad, right here around the hotel. Ethiopia, 128. Bangladesh, 174 million souls. Nigeria, 228. Pakistan, 244. China, 1.425 billion people. And India, 1.439 billion people. To put that in millions, that would be 1,439 million people live in India. Those are staggering numbers. Just combining the numbers that I just read out to you, that combines into 4.5 billion people. Most of those countries' citizens don't know Jesus. Millions have never even heard his name. Churches are sending people to these areas, raising money, training people to send them to these areas. But here's the thing, Crossroads Church, you and I guess I'm standing, but you're sitting right in the middle of that region where most of the world's least reached people groups live. And yet, as I said, you don't have to go very far to talk with them. You'll find them walking on our city's sidewalks, taking the lift in your building, working with you, or standing next to you on the metro as you ride to work, in the stores you shop at, in the schools that you attend. These everyday, ordinary places make up one of the most strategic locations in the entire world to reach unreached people. As Christ's followers, we're called to go to the outermost parts of the earth. People who have yet to hear the gospel. But friends, we're here. Whether you knew it or not, whether you came here for it or not, you're here. You don't need to pack up and move away. Now, God may call you to do so. God may call you to be equipped and trained at Crossroads Church and to be equipped and trained here in Dubai to go, to maybe go back to your home country to minister there, or to go to an unreached or least reached people group somewhere. God may call you to go, and if God calls you to go, go. Be faithful. Go and make disciples of all nations where he calls you to go, and he may be calling you to go. But if you want to tell unreached people about Jesus, you don't need to go anywhere, except perhaps to take that step into your neighbor's flat. Or go downstairs to that shopkeeper, or in the conference room at work, or that table at lunch at your school. Christian, let me just tell you something you may or may not know. God didn't bring you here to the UAE to further your career, to further your education, or to increase your bank account. Now, some of those things might happen while you're here, but God didn't bring you here to make a name for yourself. He brought you here to make a name for himself and to herald the good news of Jesus Christ to those around you. God didn't bring you here by accident. Maybe you had multiple choices of where to go, or maybe somehow you were looking for a job and you found one here. It's no accident that you're here. Friends, there are no accidents with our sovereign God. It's no accident that you're in Dubai. It's no accident that you're sitting here on Sunday morning at the Swiss Hotel at Al Ghurair Center. It's no accident that God has brought you here. It wasn't a job. It wasn't a school that brought you to this place. Some of you were born here. It's not because your parents were here. God specifically has brought you here to Dubai, Sharjah, wherever you may live, for such a time as this. And so let's not buy into the lie of Dubai that we are here for ourselves. That's a lie that says we're here for ourselves to accumulate whatever we can for ourselves, by ourselves. Friends, that's a lie. That's a lie of the evil one. God has brought you here for himself. We're here for God. Well, here's our homework for this week. I want you to ask yourself this question. Where is God sending me? I want you to ask yourself that question. Where is God sending me? And then I want you to talk about it with someone else. Maybe at lunch today. Maybe at coffee this week with a friend, maybe with your family over dinner. And I don't mean away from here. I want you to ask yourself, where is he already sending me on a daily basis? Perfect timing to do this as you take the evangelism class before service. To whom is he sending me? Because friend, every morning when you go to the office, you go to the workplace, you go to school, you're running an errand, you're going to the doctor's office, anytime you're leaving your home and going somewhere, you're being sent. Every time we step out of the doors of our house, we need to think of ourselves as sent ones, as ones that God is sending into the world. We all have a role to play in God's plan of salvation. Play your part. Crossroads Church, make choices that an ambassador of God would make. So go to the same shops regularly to meet with the same people. Pray for opportunities to share your faith. So you go about your day, whether it's work or school, whatever you may do, maybe you're at home, whatever it is, go about your day praying actively for opportunities to share your faith. Be the best worker you can be. Commend the gospel with your integrity and hard work. Use your words to build up and not tear down. And speak about Jesus often. I mean, do people at your workplace even know you're a Christian? Do the people around you know what's most important about you? Do people around you know that you worship the one true God of the universe? Because friends, if those around you don't hear your voice speaking the gospel to them, how will they hear his voice calling them? Well, the answer is they may never hear. And that's why we're here. It's a remarkable privilege to tell people the good news that can save them. Look at the end of verse 15. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. These closing words were spoken in Isaiah chapter 52. They were spoken about those who brought Jerusalem the good news that the captivity to Babylon was over. That's how you spread news in those days. You'd have heralds that would have to go from place to place. There was no TV, no internet, obviously none of these things. You had heralds and they would go a great distance. How beautiful were their feet. And in Isaiah chapter 52, it was good news that Jerusalem was no longer in captivity to Babylon. Those days were over. It was great news. They were free of bondage. But how much better to bring the good news of freedom from eternal bondage and death. Well, it's interesting that Paul would choose the feet as the beautiful parts of the body. Feet aren't the first thing that come to my mind when I think of beauty. I don't think I've ever looked down at my feet and thought, now there they are in all their glory. True beauty. I should probably quit my job and become a foot model. Now, I've never said those things. You probably haven't talked that way either. And if you have, you need counseling. You need to get help. You need help. But messengers in those days, as I alluded to, they traveled long and they traveled far and they wore thin sandals. Their feet would get ragged. Their feet would get filthy on these long journeys. But to those who awaited the news, oh, those feet were beautiful. Those feet signified labor and toil and hardship and going long distances of that one to bring the good news, especially the good news of the gospel. Our friends, beautiful feet are not soft and tanned and perfectly manicured. They were worn, they were dirty, they were bloody, they were wrinkled from the many kilometers these heralds traveled to go spread the good news to the nations. Today, many in our nation, including our churches, are the beneficiaries of beautiful feet here in Arabia. The church where I serve, Redeemer Church of Dubai, was planted over 14 years ago. Crossroads Church, I guess 6 years? Coming up on 6 years. We both owe our heritage to Christians who have come to the UAE long before we ever got here. We're part of a much bigger picture of what God has done in this country. Over 100 years ago, let me give you some of the history. Over 100 years ago, Samuel Zwemer came across the Atlantic to the Arabian Peninsula to bring the good news of the gospel to the desert. Nobody would send him. They said it was too remote. They said it was too hot, which that part might be correct, but, and it was too challenging. It was too hard. It was too remote. But he came anyway, came with his family, came without a team. In his 14 years of service, he only saw a few people come to faith. In Bahrain, if you get special permission, as I did a few years ago, you could get a gate unlocked and go to this gated off cemetery where you could find the gravestones of two of his children who died and were buried there. Zwamer's example was soul-stirring for many. It's estimated that as many as 14,000 young people from the U.S. were sent to the mission field because of Zwamer's influence. If not for Zwamer's sacrifice, if not for his commitment to come to a challenging, hot, and hard place, we may not be here today. But friends, how beautiful were the feet of Samuel Zwamer, who preached the good news in Arabia. And in 1960, we tell you about a couple missionaries, Pat and Marion Kennedy. You can see a picture of Pat there working. They came to Al Ain, UAE, at the invitation of His Highness to start a Christian-run hospital. It initially operated out of a mud building. Pat and Marion, they had a hard time along the way. Those days, no electricity, no running water. That means they couldn't store IV fluids. They had to make them on the spot as needed by mixing water and sugar and salt according to a recipe that they had. They had no other workers. They did the maintenance. They cleaned the place and they took care of people that came. There were no replacement doctors, and so they took no vacations. They worked really hard. And within 2 months of arriving, over 200 patients arrived daily, either by foot or by camel, to their makeshift hospital. Many of the members of the Al Nahyan dynasty, the president's family, were born at the hospital during the 15 years that the Kennedys lived there, including the current president himself was born at the hospital. Over 100,000 babies were born in that hospital since it opened over 60 years ago. Now, this is significant because when Pat and Marion Kennedy arrived, the infant mortality rate during birth was 50%. Means one out of every two babies died in the birthing process. And 35% of the women giving birth died in the birthing process at that time in the early 1960s. And by God's grace, these doctors came and began to change those statistics. A few years ago, out of love for the Christians there at the hospital, the Abu Dhabi government gave millions and millions of dirhams to build a new hospital building, and they held a press conference to announce the news. The Christians at first thought that they might share the news rather quietly, but they held this big press conference, and they said this. They said that these Christians have done a good thing. We love these Christians, and we're giving this money for two reasons. One, because they came before there was oil. And two, because my fathers said they were good. It was essential that these Christians hadn't come to make money. They arrived before there was any money, before there was any oil to help these people. And they had a great reputation. The ruler of Abu Dhabi once publicly proclaimed and told Pat and Marion, since this is decades ago, he told them face to face, if you hadn't come, my people might be extinct right now. Well, this family and others who joined them made a considerable impact, not only with their work, but also with their words. They came here to tell people about Jesus, and they did it, and opened the door to a church being started in Al Ain, and then a church in Abu Dhabi, and then a church in Dubai. How beautiful were the feet of Pat and Marion Kennedy, who preached the good news in Arabia. Well, the week after the tragedy of 9/11 in New York City, USA, a couple serving in university ministry in the U.S. put up a for sale sign in front of their house with the intent of moving to Dubai to start university student ministry. Mac and Leanne arrived soon after with two other families. They would see many students come to faith over the years. They would later transition, leaving the first two to come to faith through the ministry, who are now married to one another in leadership over the ministry. And over the years, dozens of university students have come to faith Numerous Bible discussions have occurred, and many students have been trained to study the Bible. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of Mack and Leanne Stiles and others who preach the good news on university campuses in Arabia. When our country, we can't just build a church building wherever we want. We knew that it would take getting permissions for Crossroads Church to meet here. You can't just rent a building. And so it was wonderful when the ruler of Ras Al Khaimah invited us to his palace a decade ago. It was an amazing place with gold and blue peacocks in the front yard. It was the first time I greeted someone with the words, "Your Royal Highness," and wasn't joking around with a friend. We had the privilege of meeting royalty. God paved the way, and by God's grace, a building or a land was granted for a church building in an emirate lacking evangelical presence. And without building or without blueprints, Pastor Josh and Jenny Manley were called to Ras Al Khaimah, and by faith they came. A church was formed, a building was built, and many have been saved. The church there is flourishing, the building is beautiful. Our church was able to meet there for 5 months during COVID due to their wonderful partnership in the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of Pastor Josh and Jenny Manley who preach the good news in Arabia. Well, years ago, I was teaching about the gospel across town, and there sitting in the front row, right to my left, was a very interesting man that I had never met. Afterwards, Alvin approached me and asked if he could learn and study more. I invited him to do our pastoral internship eventually, which led to a staff role, which led to eldering, which led to a church plant. While on our staff team with plans to start a new church, one day a huge fire roared across the street from our old church meeting place just down the street from here. I witnessed the fire from my metro ride home to Al Gharer. Many Filipinos in the building lost passports, cash, other personal documents. Now homeless, they were awaiting new accommodation. Pastor Alvin had an idea. He drove over in our old church van, and he was able to take 4 van loads to new accommodations, about a dozen or so people per trip. And I love Alvin's boldness in proclaiming the gospel on those trips. He saw his fellow Filipinos weeping at all that they had lost in the fire, not knowing what's next. And Alvin said this in Tagalog. Okay, no, I'm not going to say it in Tagalog. A little self-conscious in front of all of you. I'll translate it into English. He said something like this: "Friends, I know you've just faced the fire, a big fire, but if you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior, there's a bigger fire to come." That's what he actually said. And you know what? Out of those 4 van loads, Pastor Alvin started a Bible study with 3 of them. And our church cared for them. We bought mattresses, rice cookers, and lots of rice, and more rice. Because my Filipino friends, if there's no rice, it's not a meal. Amen? It's only a merienda, not a meal. We gave them rice, we gave them food, but more than that, Alvin taught them the word. Alvin taught them the scriptures. Pastor Alvin was unashamed of the gospel, and God used his evangelism to change lives. Eventually, Alvin and Diane would go on to help plant a church that I love. You. Crossroads Church. Well, how beautiful are the feet of Pastor Alvin and Diane Latanua who preached the good news in Arabia. Well, along the way, we had this crazy dream of starting a pastoral training center to offer further training in Arabia, a place where pastors and church leaders could be trained and could be equipped for ministry without leaving the region. In God's kindness, he brought a host of people to start the endeavor. The first to commit were a couple called Trey and Josephine O'Rear, and in those days, we had kind of a nickname for this. It was called the Redeemer Training Center, which later changed to the Gulf School of Theology, later changed to the Gulf Training Center. Hopefully now, finally, Lord willing, the Gulf Theological Seminary. So from RTC to GST to GTC to GTS. I got it. Then there was Scott Zeller serving in Delhi, India with his family. He had a medical condition, and before we knew it, him and his family were living in our flat here at Al Ghurair, looking for a place to live. Later, his brother Eric and his family would leave India to eventually become the first president of the first seminary in the history of the Arabian Peninsula. Now, Pastor Alvin and I have the privilege of serving on the board of this school. Hundreds of leaders have been trained as we approach the 10th anniversary. How beautiful are the feet of the Arrears, the Zellers, and the other Zellers, and all those, many of you, who've been a part of the seminary as you have preached the good news in Arabia. Crossroads, I could go on and on, but a nice lunch somewhere with rice awaits us. But my prayer for Crossroads Church in the coming years is that this church will be filled with beautiful feet, members sharing the gospel in the workplace, kids, tweens, and youth and uni students talking about Jesus on school campuses, church planters being sent from Crossroads throughout Dubai, Sharjah, Abu Dhabi, throughout the Arabian Peninsula, maybe even back into the Philippines, leaders trained to take the gospel to the outermost parts of the earth. Oh, friends, we all have a role to play in God's plan of salvation. Play your part. Go and preach the gospel. It's not our job to save, but it is our job to share. We share and God saves. Amen? We get to share, but He's the one who saves, and we don't know who He's going to save. So we don't get to decide that. We share with everyone. The gospel is offered to everyone and to anyone without discrimination. So you might have someone in mind, or you might think that's the last person who's actually going to respond to the gospel, but you don't know that. Sometimes, right, it's those who are closest to us, those who you think have the easiest opportunity, who end up being hardened to the gospel, and it's yet that friend who you think, no way. Oh, friends, we don't get to choose who's saved. We share with everyone. God chooses and God saves. And so we share with anyone and everyone. We share the message that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and He rose from the dead. And just like us, He had hands and He had feet. And they were beautiful feet. They are beautiful feet that spread the gospel while He was alive on earth, and beautiful feet that were nailed to the cross in His death. But this darkest of hours became our greatest hope when He rose from the dead on the third day. A horrific ending was really a brand new beginning. Jesus' mission was His death and resurrection. He was born to die to save His people from their sins. And now, friends, sharing the gospel is our mission. No matter whether you're a brand new believer or you've been a believer for decades, no matter whether you're young and afraid or old and afraid, no matter whether you have a seminary degree or you haven't graduated university, no matter how great you feel like you are theologically or how well-versed you are in the gospel, we all, as Christians, as the body of Christ, now have a mission to proclaim the gospel. Oh, friends, we all have a role to play in God's plan of salvation. Crossroads Church of Dubai, play your part. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your love in sending Your one and only Son from heaven to earth to die for our sins. We thank You for the privilege of being Your ambassadors. Oh, would Crossroads Church be filled with beautiful feet proclaiming the treasures of the gospel to a dying world? Father, would many believe and behold our God together for all eternity? We pray this in the mighty and powerful saving name of Jesus. Amen.